What a continued affirming word to be in worship this morning from beginning throughout, and it is a good place to be. Yesterday, I was able to spend a couple of hours with my grandson. I've got pictures if y'all would like to see them, but maybe we can talk afterwards. But one of the delights was just feeding him applesauce, right? So he's about 10 months old and doing the normal things. I was sharing with some earlier about this, the spoon and making noises and his opening up the mouth. And the very first mouthful, he just blurts it all back at me, you know, which I got tickled. And then that became the game. You know, I would feed him applesauce. He'd spit it right out at me. And when it was all over, I don't think he took in much nourishment, but we both had a great time, and I was covered head to toe in some mixture of applesauce and avocado. Some messes are an absolute joy and delight. But sometimes we bring other kinds of messes with us that are not so delightful. Maybe even this very morning, you bring something in here that you dare not share with anyone, but it is yours. And I think that here in church, especially in church, we're allowed to bring before God our messes, the joyful kind. And so we offer words of gratitude, but also the messy kind. And we give to God our confessions. And we give to the Lord our questions. Now, you know, if you've been here in the last few weeks, our focus has been not so much on our questions, but when God asks the questions. There's just something about asking questions that help change us. So let us hear together the word of the Lord from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Now I'm going to read a few verses in advance of our focus verses, beginning with verse 1, keying in at verses 8 through 10. They, that is the disciples, came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain, for he had often been restrained with shackles and chains. But the chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself against the stones. And when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him. And he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." These are God's words for God's people. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. In all of our messiness, O Lord, we come in here, trusting the koinonia, the fellowship of one another, that surely this room with these people may be big enough to handle all our messes. But Lord, more deeply still, we enter into you, knowing that you are the one that both receives our questions and asks them of us. Now may we, in the opening of Holy Scripture, be transformed by the movement of your Spirit in its hearing and proclamation and in its living out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we open this gospel text with a phrase that maybe we've not paid much attention to. It begins by telling us that Jesus and his disciples have gone on to the other side. Now, that may not seem much to you, except for in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but especially in the Gospel of Mark, the other side is a phrase we hear often enough. If you were to chart Jesus' coming and going, he's always going back and forth to the other side. He's on one side or the other often. Jesus is, after all, a Savior on the move, out to meet people, in this case, on the other side. And for you filmmaker buffs, this story opens up in a dark and foreboding way. You can almost imagine the scenery here. The disciples and Jesus are making their way across the Sea of Galilee, which is nothing more than a very large lake. You can hear the gliding of the boat as the oars are quietly sinking into the water until it finally makes its way to dock. And everyone is wide-eyed with a little bit of apprehension and fear, because I need to point out, while they were on the other side of the other side, they had just survived a storm at sea to the point that everyone had given up themselves for lost. And so they encounter this individual who is living and dwelling in this strange land of Gerasenes across the Sea of Galilee, far, far from home. Are you getting the picture here? Fatigued and, I think, a little bit homesick, they meet up with a most frightening picture, a figure who, ironically enough, is kind of lost himself. Even though he's a hometown boy, he's not at home, because the passage tells us that he had an unclean spirit. This man, because of his condition, is cut off from his community. He lived in the cemetery, for goodness sake, which is located outside the village. And as such, he lives in isolation from his neighbors, from his family, and he probably felt like he lived far, far away from God. Jesus and his gang have truly gone to the other side of things. Have you ever been to the other side, where demons roar and hope seems to be lost? Every church I've ever served has been populated with persons serving on the other side. I remember one congregation, there was a young man named, well, we'll call his name Richard, not his real name. Richard had done time in prison because he shot a man, and now he's out on parole, and he would often visit with me. Schizophrenic was his diagnosis, and he would clutch his bottles of pills, and some days he would weep in my office uncontrollably, and other days you could see the rage and anger boil within him. I even had to participate with his health care providers to discuss whether or not he was a danger to himself and a danger to his neighbors. Oh, I know what the other side looks like. Then there was a time when I served in Augusta, Georgia, and quite often I'd find myself at Eisenhower Hospital on the base of Fort Gordon, on the behavioral wing of the hospital. That's where soldiers would go, oftentimes suffering from PTSD and struggling with their own named and unnamed demons in their lives. And I never will forget, and if you've never been to a behavioral health unit, they're kind of all the same, in the sense that you buzz your way in and they let you in the door and confirm your credentials, and you hear the door slam behind you. And there I would visit with persons that were one way or another connected with our church. And I remember one particular visit. I was at the nurse's station. I'd already been buzzed in, and they were going to get to the patient, our church member, for us to have a pastoral visit. And I'm just watching the door, just kind of mindlessly, and then I'm watching a young man, and the door's buzzed open, and there he bolted to get outside, only to be tackled by the nurses and a couple of orderlies. Oh, we know what the other side looks like, don't we? Over the years, I've been to the other side many, many times, and I suspect that you have too. When I read about Jesus and his bunch traveling to the other side, to the Sea of Gerasenes, or to the country of Gerasenes, I think of Richard and so many others who dwell on the other side. And so we have this story about hope and about God's commitment to go to the other side of our dark and stormy lives. And then we come to the question, what is your name? This is the question the Son of God is asking to this man possessed of demons. And I know what you're probably thinking, that this is an engaging story, may even be an entertaining story, but demon possession? I mean, we don't know anything about that in the 21st century. We have clinical terms for things like that, maybe in developing countries, but certainly not here amidst the good people in Roswell, Georgia. I don't know. Have you ever met chaos? Then you've met demons. When this man answered the question of Jesus, what is your name? He gave the answer, Legion. It's a term that the Romans use. It's Latin. It simply meant about 4,000 to 6,000 men who served in the Roman army there. Here is a man tormented by the voices and personalities of many. He might as well have just answered Jesus, my name is Chaos. Because that's exactly what's happening here. This man was the very archetype of chaos. He lived like a wild animal among the tombs. He's breaking chains and howling in the night. He's hurting himself against the stones. Have you ever been around someone named Chaos? Do you know anybody struggling with addiction? Then you've met Chaos. Do you know someone whose anger saturates their words, their very lives? Then you met chaos. Do you know anyone struggling and suffering from depression? And I don't mean just feeling sad and having the blues. I'm talking about feeling as though they're in a dark hole and there's no way out or through, and they just simply want to cover up their heads and disappear from it all. Then you've met chaos. Anxiety, fear, dementia, cancer, loneliness, disease. The demons can be legion on the other side, and we find ourselves lost, and that name is chaos. And let me tell you, friend, when chaos rules, it does so by the hand of evil. Now, don't get me wrong, we can psychoanalyze it, we can diagnose it, we can prescribe medicine, we can treat it, but ultimately it's a spiritual thing. I want to hasten to add that treatments like therapy and medicines and so forth are often a necessary pathway for healing and wholeness, but chaos is ultimately a sickening of the soul. It's when a person becomes so broken that their lives are in complete disarray. What is your name? The Son of God asks. My name is Legion. I am Chaos. Others have borne that name too. Those who are on the edge, who are on the other side, who are chained down, who are marginalized, who are misunderstood. They may not get locked up for it, but they certainly know what it feels like to be right there on the edge of despair, on the periphery of hopelessness. What we read in the gospel here is when the man with the unclean spirit saw Jesus from a distance, and I quote, he ran down, he bowed down before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. Somehow Jesus knew something that I don't think the disciples understood at the time. And certainly the tormented and demented man of Gerasenes did not. That even when everyone else keeps you at a distance, that when everyone else refuses to have anything to do with you, God goes to the other side for you. Jesus, Son of God, reaches out and embraces and will not ignore the chained down, the shut out, the broken off, the ostracized, and the ridicule. God moves from chaos to order, from the other side to hope, from the edge to wholeness. And isn't that the very ministry of this church? Isn't that why we exist? To somehow believe that we are called by God to meet others on the other side? To go where we may not always want to go? To stretch ourselves in places where we may not always feel comfortable? To trust in the one who has called us, equipped us, and sent us to meet chaos face to face? One time or another, we all go there, don't we? I mean, we go because we know what it's like to be on the other side, to find ourselves on the edge of darkness. When we hear God ask, well, what is your name? And we say it. Chaos. Haven't we all felt it? I mean, sometimes we even say it literally. Oh, my life. It's chaos. But we don't have to keep that name. God has come to the edge, to the other side, to give us a new name. And that name is Beloved. Beloved. I didn't read the rest of the story. There are a lot more questions when you begin to read it, but suffice it to say, the man is made new and whole again. He is literally embodied with the new name, Beloved of God, the one name that every human being in this world deserves and desires to be called. Because when we are not beloved and feel as though we're not beloved, we are just shades howling in the darkness, throwing ourselves violently against anyone and anything just to feel something. And so the named Beloved, this man whose only name we know is Chaos, is suddenly renamed by this one who has told him, you don't even have to leave home. I didn't read the story, but when you read on ahead, that's exactly what happens. You see, most of the time we're used to Jesus saying, put down your nets, come and follow me, and go places. But curiously, he tells this man to stay put, tell others what the Lord has done for you. As one author puts it, and here I quote, yes, for you the one whom they despised, for you the one they imprisoned, for you the one they banished, for you the one they thought has nothing. They may not want to listen, but tell them if you can that there is a God who embraces, a God who reaches his arms wide when you are feeling sent off and shut out and locked up or chained down, a God who enfolds all who are enduring the deep and abiding terror of life on the edge, a God who has pulled you close, you who were beaten down, bewildered, and told you were nothing. It is the call for all of us to put aside our chaos and our chaotic actions, and our chaotic words, and our chaotic thoughts, and our chaotic behaviors, because God has crossed to the other side of all of our lives to give us the name of Beloved, to actually believe that we bear witness to something far bigger than the labels that others may provide. Now, the thing is, none of the Gospels tell us what happened to the man when he returned home. Was he accepted? Was he received back into his family? Did they listen to his words when he told them all that the Lord had done for him? We don't know. Some say you can't go back home again. Maybe that's partially true. But I believe that there is a day coming when God will reach beyond all of our other sides to bring us together again. And I had no collaboration with Logan when he talked about the theme this year is on fellowship, koinonia, being home again. Don't you want that? personally? Don't you want to feel as though, yes, I'm beloved, and no matter what others call me or name me or label me or send me, there's a God who's willing to go to the other side to claim me. And then we get to practice that in the church, where we get to laugh at each other, make fun of each other, grieve with each other, struggle with each other, because we recognize, oh, you've been to the other side too. So have I. We must be beloved to find our place home again. And then we go to a waiting community who is dispersed as anything can be. They too, that is, the others out there, are longing for the very same thing, to find a different name other than the one they've been bearing. The other night, Amy and I were talking about my grandmother and her mother for a couple of reasons. 20 years ago, this month of February, we lost both of them within a couple of weeks of each other. Amy's mother and my grandmother both had... my grandmother was the maternal person who raised me alongside my father. Amy's mom, of course, raised her. We were eating vegetables and cornbread. That's what started the conversation, and I just made the remark, this sure does taste like home. And then as we were eating and talking and reflecting and sharing some sadness, physically there are no more homes to go back to. Literally, there are no more moms and grandmas to sit at the kitchen table, to eat the fried chicken and smell the buttered biscuits and ask for more. But when I think about this, I know that the work of God's people is to make people feel home again. And while we lose, we know we have not lost all. That as long as there is one who's willing to cross to the other side for each and every one of us, we have hope. Because there at God's table, wholeness is felt, and the lost are found, and chaos will be no more, and the feast will begin. So, brothers and sisters, how will you respond to God's question in your chaotic life? And also, how will you respond to the chaotic lives of others who just need to know, am I beloved? Is there a word for me? Well, we have to go to the other side to find out, which takes a little risk. Let's pray together. So here we are, O God, shelter in the storm, the cold breezes of a February will wait and greet us in just a few moments. But may we, Lord, find comfort and identity, warmth and purpose, answer to the questions we are living out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.